the British government has given way on Northern Ireland having different rules in terms of our regulations that goods would have to conform to. Those rules would be different from the rest of the UK. The DUP have done a U-turn on that. They promised that they wouldn't allow it to happen, and they have. And on top of that, Leo Varadkar and Boris Johnson yesterday, there's a different mood music. They say there now could be a pathway to a new agreement. And many are speculating that that could mean the British government giving more ground, this time on customs being different here in Northern Ireland from the rest of the UK. The TV leader Jim Allister has said if that is the case, we are in the waiting room of a united Ireland. So far, we don't know the details of this proposal. Let's see what our political editor, Mark Devonport, knows about this. Good morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, Stephen.
What do we know?
Well, we don't have a great deal of detail, but we do know that Irish sources were briefing papers like the Irish Times that there had been movement from the British side on customs. One idea which seems to have emerged is the notion of revisiting some parts of what Theresa May proposed in what was known as her Chequers deal. And one aspect of that was a customs partnership by which the UK would have agreed to collect tariffs for the EU and then would potentially pay back rebates to businesses who were owed this. If you just stay with me, it's a bit complicated. But what you could have, I suppose, is you could have not only the regulatory check that you'd already talked about on goods moving from Great Britain to Northern Ireland, but also those goods paying tariffs as if they were going to go into the EU. But if the importer, a firm, an individual, I'm not quite clear at this stage, was able to say, look, they were only for use within Northern Ireland, then it might be, I suppose, a bit like the system where you can sometimes claim back a bit of tax at an airport if you're shown that it's something you shouldn't have paid. So a Northern Ireland firm would then be able to claim that back and say that shouldn't have been paid. So the idea would be, administratively, we would be administering EU tariffs, but we wouldn't actually be in the EU tariffs zone. We'd still be in the UK customs zone.
But is that semantics? Would we be in a type of customs union of the EU unlike the rest of the UK? Is that the bottom line?
Well, to be honest, it's really hard to answer this without being able to work through the detail and trying to work out, you know, what happens. For instance, I'm not clear at this point. If you're, say, a Northern Ireland firm or a Northern Ireland farm making produce in Northern Ireland, are you then getting tariff-free access to the EU? I'm not clear on that, or would that be subject to some kind of future deal? So at this stage, it's a bit hard for me definitively to say, oh, look, this is just a cover for basically being in the EU customs union. I do know, because I listened to that interview that Jim Allister gave, that he effectively thinks, look, if you go administratively into the EU customs union, if you've got EU regulations, then these are a series of baby steps towards alignment with the EU and a united Ireland. But at the moment, it's hard to be definitive until we've actually got the concrete detail that we can work through.
I understand that. Robert Peston, formerly of the BBC, now the political editor for ITV, he's just tweeted, Mark, in the last 20 minutes, Dublin says Boris Johnson has made a big move on customs arrangements for the island of Ireland. Now, even that language for unionists, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom talking about customs arrangements for the island of Ireland. My goodness, those people wanting a united Ireland must be delighted with this. However, he then goes on to say, London says Leo Varadkar has made a big move to secure a deal. And he asks, are these statements compatible?
Yeah, well, I mean, we will have to see when this comes out, who's made a move and whether it can be delivered. The problem, of course, would be that, as you have documented already earlier on in the week, the DUP's been under pressure for having moved too much from other unionists, not just Jim Allister, but also the Ulster unionists, by conceding that potentially Northern Ireland could follow an EU regulatory alignment. If you know, once it was worked through, it was shown that Northern Ireland was also following part of the EU customs regime and wasn't clearly within the UK zone. That could be a bridge too far for the DUP, and Boris Johnson could then see his parliamentary majority disappear. So it's a tightrope that they're walking, and we're just going to have to see quite what happens. The DUP have been pretty quiet, which maybe thinks that, you know, maybe indicates that they're mulling things over. Sammy Wilson was quoted as having told the FT if it was a move into an EU customs union, even temporarily, then that was not on the cards.
Sammy Wilson's the same man who said they would not tolerate regulatory alignment.
Exactly. I mean,
and now he will.
Yeah, they moved because they thought they got that kind of veto at Stormont. We can maybe come on to that in a moment. But, you know, just in relation to the customs matter, one other source did say to me, no one in the DUP is panicking. The PM is keeping us informed. But it still seems to me like it's a bit of a work in progress. The other aspect, of course, is not just customs, but it's also what role Stormont would play. There was an interesting interview given by Julian Smith last night in which he said, no one community, no one party would have a veto, and that had obviously been the concern about the Stormont lock plan. Now,
Mark, I think we can play, what Julian Smith told Mark Crothers on The View last night.
The key thing is that we have to have regard to the Good Friday Agreement and have regard for the need to have a cross-community approach to how we resolve this.
And that's how you would resolve it. So we are looking at a Northern Ireland only referendum, are we?
No, I didn't say that. I said that there will not be a situation where one community has a veto over this.
OK, give me an example of how you could do that without one side having a veto.
I'm not going to do that because that is part of the negotiation, but what I'm committing to is that we're not going to have one party having a veto over any element of this situation.
Well, in another bizarre twist to this, number 10 sources, according to the BBC's Ian Watson, Mark, are now saying that Julian Smith, their man, hadn't been briefed on the detail of the Johnson Varadkar talks when he suggested to Mark Crothers that there wouldn't be a DUP lock.
Yeah, I mean, this is quite fascinating, really. So was it a question that Julian Smith was, you know, just caught in the headlights there and he hadn't been told about, you know, the full discussions that Boris Johnson had been having on consent? Obviously, I would imagine that what he had to say maybe rattled some within the DUP, and they maybe rattled number 10, and then we've been getting this briefing this morning. But if there is a bit of tension there between Julian Smith and number 10, well, it's not the first occasion that that's manifested itself, because Julian Smith tweeted in response to a briefing which was widely considered to have been given by Boris Johnson's senior advisor Dominic Cummings, in which he'd warned, look, if Ireland and other countries block us leaving the EU, we'll cut back on things like security cooperation. And Julian Smith basically said that was a terrible idea. So there's obviously tensions there, and, you know, there's an open question as to how much he is or is not in the loop.
And this needs to get through Parliament, of course. Whatever these two men agree, Theresa May fell down because she couldn't get it through Parliament.
Yes, and that's the, we come back to the tightrope. You know, if you give a bit to the EU, can you still keep the DUP on board? And the DUP is important not just because they're at their 10 votes, but because of the influence that they have on the right wing of the Conservative Party, the European Research Group, who basically given the thumbs up to Boris Johnson's latest proposal on the basis that if it's good enough for the DUP, it's good enough for us. So, you know, that is where finessing this is going to be very difficult.
Okay. Mark Devenport, thank you very much. Let's talk to the Ulster Unionist Party's Doug Beattie. Good morning to you, Doug.
Thanks, Stephen.
Good morning. Well, there is at least a significant possibility, a strong possibility, that Boris Johnson has now given ground on a customs alignment stroke arrangement with the EU. First, it was the rules in Northern Ireland for goods, unlike the rest of the UK, aligning with the EU. And now we might be going further with customs as well.
Yeah, Stephen, and wow is what I can say. I mean, this is so fast moving at this moment in time, and we don't have all of the information. But as a unionist, I am genuinely concerned. And the reality to it is this, is that the moment the DUP conceded that we could have a border down the Irish Sea, a regulatory border, the moment they conceded that Northern Ireland could stay under the jurisdiction of the European courts while the rest of Great Britain could leave. The moment they conceded that was the moment Boris Johnson realised that he could stretch even further to give more concessions to make sure he's got a deal, because Boris Johnson, for all what people talk about him, is an English nationalist. He gets millions of votes from voters in England, and Conservatives in Northern Ireland gets a few thousand votes, and he's playing to the masses because he wants to get re-elected again. And I am,
but
no
he must care about North, about the Union. He clearly has said many times that he cares about the integrity of the whole of the United Kingdom.
Yes, and I guess he's playing on the loyalty of the people here in Northern Ireland, or certainly the Unionist and Loyalist population here, and he's playing on that. And there was a real chance that he could go a step too far. By going a step too far, he could absolutely isolate Northern Ireland from the rest of Great Britain, and we could see ourselves on goods and customs and the single market being more aligned to Dublin than we are to London. And that's concerning for a Unionist like me, as it should be concerning for any Unionist out there.
Why? Because Northern Ireland's status within the UK will not change without the majority consent of people in this country. That's locked in.
Absolutely. Stephen, you're right. And people will say maybe this is just over-egging it. I'm not trying to over-egg it. What I'm trying to say is that, look, nothing was going to happen in 12 months and nothing's going to happen in 4 years or 5 years. The concern is 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, as we diverge more and more from Great Britain, as Great Britain starts to do deals with other countries around the world, which Northern Ireland won't be allowed to be part of, that we'll find ourselves moving in step with the European Union and Dublin than we are with the rest of the United Kingdom. And for a Unionist, I mean, being a Unionist, it's not a dirty word. I mean, it's fair for me to have a concern about this, and that's what I'm expressing.
Here's the bottom line, Doug. Sinn Féin can sit back on a deck chair here, put their feet up, and watch what Brexit, pushed by many Unionists in Northern Ireland, is doing to Northern Ireland's position within the UK.
Absolutely.
And by the way, it's been pushed by your party.
Well, it's not been pushed by...
Yes,
by
it is. Well, are you against Brexit?
No, we're not, Stephen.
Right.
But we're not.
So here you are, a Unionist party, Sinn Féin, with their feet up, watching Unionists talk about the jeopardy to the United Kingdom, watching a British Prime Minister now having good mood music with Leo Varadkar, yeah, possibly giving way on customs, having already given Northern Ireland an alignment, or offered it, in terms of our regulations for goods in this country. Kids' toys coming in here Christmas. If this was in the New World, our rules would be different from the rest of the UK. Sinn Féin don't need to get up in the morning anymore to walk towards United Ireland, do they?
Yeah, exactly.
But you're supporting it.
Well, we're not, Stephen, stop. We are not supporting regulatory borders down the Irish Sea. We are not supporting staying under the jurisdiction of the European Union. We are not supporting a four-year, some mandated mechanism to keep us in that arrangement. We supported the fact is that the majority of people in the United Kingdom voted to leave the European Union. That was democracy, and therefore we vote for that. We want a deal. We want a decent deal, that everybody gets the best possible deal possible from this. And that's what we were working to.
Is your party getting anywhere close to thinking that actually maybe you need to think again about your Brexit strategy of supporting it, because it could be threatening the union?
Well, I guess for every Unionist out there, the union is by far the most important thing. And whatever is decided from London has to be for the whole of the United Kingdom, so we all move as one kingdom. I think that's the important thing. And therefore, and please, Stephen, this is all coming out yesterday, and it's only filtering down from yesterday, and we do need time to digest what is going on. But we do have to think about what is best for Northern Ireland as part of the United Kingdom. And we may have to revisit some things. What we did have at one stage was everybody within the Unionist community were pretty much united. I'm talking politically here, not all Unionists, of course, were united against any form of a backstop. And all of a sudden, without consultation, somebody goes off on a tangent, and look where we now have found ourselves. So I guess we all need to stop and rethink our strategy here, because the most important thing is whatever London decide we are going to do in regards to a deal, it must be for the whole of the United Kingdom, and Northern Ireland cannot be severed off from the rest of Great Britain.
And you've put yourself up as a potential leader for your party. You're going to run for it. I see that Robin Swan has brought that date forward now. He had said that he wasn't going to leave until after the new year. He's now brought it forward to next month. So this question is quite important. When you say that, you know, you need to step back and rethink strategy, could that, Doug Beattie, if you are a new leader, would you consider the possibility of changing your party's position on Brexit to the point where you would be against Brexit, that you would campaign for this country to stay?
No, I wouldn't, Stephen, because I still believe in democracy, and that democracy is, whether we like it or not, we had a vote and the majority of people said we were going to leave the European Union. And what it's about is making sure that we do so as one kingdom. But I must have to add to that, Stephen, I haven't said that I will stand as a leader. I only found out last night, just before 10 o'clock, that it's been brought forward. So I will make my decision come Monday, whether or not I will stand. But whether I stand
you
or whether
said,
I don't
stand...
You
said that you were going to sign people out.
Yeah.
You must have done that by now.
Yeah, hang on, Stephen. I was sounding people out for what I thought was going to be a leadership contest on the 7th of February, yeah. 2020.
And you were going to run for it then?
Well, no, I was sounding people out for that date. I've had it brought forward, so it's now 4 weeks away. Goodness sake, man. Give me at least a bit of time to think this thing through. So I'll think it through and come up with a decision come Monday. But regardless of whether I go for party leadership or not, I will still speak to my party colleagues because I still believe that we think that democracy must be adhered to here. And the vast majority of people said that we have to leave. And therefore, we have to think about how we can do that so the whole of the United Kingdom can do that as one.
Jim Allister's joining us now from the TUV. I noticed Richard Chambers, David Green, who wrote an article in the Daily Telegraph. It was Richard Chambers who tweeted it. And David Green from the Daily Telegraph said the following: Northern Ireland has long been a millstone round the neck of the rest of the UK, and to fail to take back our independence because of it would be an historic tragedy. It is not widely known that it costs the UK more to support Northern Ireland than it does to be in the EU. Jim Allister?
Well, I hear what he said, but I think there is much more important things in terms of the defining of the United Kingdom. It is four nations bound for centuries together in economic unity. And, of course, the proposals that we're beginning to hear about, if they are correct overnight, would totally disintegrate that economic unity.
And Brexiteers like you have brought that on.
Well, just pause the anti-Brexit rhetoric that you're so given to, Mr. Nolan, for a moment, and let you deal with the proposal as we understand it. If it is correct that the Prime Minister is engaged in a proposal which would manifest itself in a customs border to add to the regulatory border down the Irish Sea, then no matter how you dress it up, that is a fundamental assault upon our position within the United Kingdom, whether you say technically you're still in the UK customs union or not.
And no matter how you dress it up, no matter how you, I'll let this come back with more in a moment, but no matter how you dress,
let me finish the point.
No matter how you dress it up, none of this would be talked about if there was no prospect of Brexit. Why didn't unionists like you think about all of this before you advocated Brexit? You called it wrong in not thinking about it, didn't you? You didn't game all of this out.
There you go again. In rebellion against the settled will of the people of the United Kingdom. Now, you might have no respect for how the people of the United Kingdom voted, but I most certainly do, particularly when they were told, once-in-a-lifetime decision, you will make it, it will be implemented. And having made it, we then have everyone from Sinn Féin through to yourself trying to undo it and unstitch it. And that is something I repudiate.
I'm repeating my question. Why did people like you, big minds like you, big unionist minds like you, not game the possibilities of some of this when you were advocating Brexit?
No, because
why did you not think about the Irish border conundrum? Why did you not think about the potential of what the backstop would force the British government to at least contemplate? None of you told the people this.
Let's be very clear. Brexit properly delivered means the United Kingdom leaving as it joined, as one nation. If we're in the United Kingdom, then we're in the United Kingdom. And if there are border consequences for the whole United Kingdom leaving, then there are border consequences. And that is the reality. And of course, people like you have encouraged the fantasy that, oh, there's some fantastic all-Ireland economy. There isn't. We trade very little, relatively speaking, with the Irish Republic. The bulk of our trade is with GB. And yet here we have a proposition that the goods that we import from GB should be subject to regulatory checks. Now it's suggested, perhaps, that those goods should also be subject to EU tariffs. Let's understand what it means to be aligned with the customs territory of the EU. It means that we are immediately subject to what's called the European Union Customs Code. It means that we are immediately subject to EU tariffs. That is wholly incompatible with our practical membership of the United Kingdom.
Straight question, Jim. Which would you rather have, Brexit or Northern Ireland in a customs union and a single market?
With whom?
Would you rather Northern Ireland, the United Kingdom, remained in the EU, or would you rather have Brexit with Northern Ireland in a type of customs union and a type of single market with the EU?
That wouldn't be Brexit. Anything that leaves...
That might be the type of Brexit you're heading towards.
Anything that leaves any part of the United Kingdom in captivity in the EU customs union and single market is not Brexit. It might be Brexit in name, but it's name only. And let's be very clear. If the Prime Minister is proposing that we should be subject to a regulatory and a customs border in the Irish Sea, then we're being annexed into the EU and the Irish Republic, and our membership of the United Kingdom is fundamentally undermined. Now, I think that poses a huge question for those who have sustained Boris Johnson in government and who perhaps incentivized him down this road by indicating they would agree to a regulatory border on goods. I warned at the time of the slippery slope, and it may be that we're now fast going down that slippery slope.
Doug Beattie,
that would utterly devastate the union and would leave us on the window ledge and leave us, in fact, in that waiting room for the next logical step, which would be, if you're going to have economic unity in the island of Ireland, it's a short step to political unity. Well, and perhaps that's the agenda of many.
Well, William in Belfast has called us this morning, picking up on your phrase, a waiting room for United Ireland. Morning, William.
Good morning, Steve. Steve, I want to know from Jim, when was he ever out of the waiting room? In the last 40 years, we've had a Belfast agreement, and we've had it before that, an Anglo-Irish agreement. Northern Ireland is evolving. These two things are holding positions for a new Ireland. The other thing is the numbers we have, the number of British people who see themselves as British, the number of Irish people. So, Jim, this waiting room has been there. You've been sitting in it. Now, I don't know how long it will take, but that's the direction. The other thing you need to explain, Jim, when has anything been more British in Northern Ireland in the last 30 years? It's always more Irishness. You are the King Canute of Northern Ireland, Jim. And I hate to say it, because I'm British.
Well, I understand some of the sentiment, and you're right that, for example, the Belfast Agreement is a one-way process. And you can tell that by the fact that the only referendum you're ever allowed to have on it is one which effectively asks, are you yet ready to join the Irish Republic? And that tells you the direction of travel, which is why I and many other unionists voted against it.
Are you not tired of shouting sellout after all of these years? Everything to you is a sellout, Jim Allister.
No, I analyse things as they are. And if this proposal is as is now being presented, that we're going to have a manifestation of different sovereignty down the Irish Sea, then sellout seems a very appropriate description.
Well, Brannan,
you know, how do you distinguish the sovereignty of a nation? You distinguish it anywhere across the world when you find a border and you move from A to B, from one country to another. If that's the circumstance where we're going to have to move from GB to Northern Ireland, and the whole of Ireland is regarded as one customs union and one single market, then that inevitably undermines our sovereignty as part of the United Kingdom.
Brannan Lambeg, are you from the Unionist or Nationalist community, Brannan? Morning.
I'm from neither. I don't get caught up in that nonsense. But what I will want to say is Jim is well aware that in reality, the only way there will be a united Ireland is if the majority of people in Northern Ireland vote for it. Now, the past 3 years, Jim has been crowing at the top of his voice. We have to leave. Brexit must be done. It's the will of the people, the will of the people, the will of the people. So if there's a majority of people in Northern Ireland actually vote to join as a united Ireland, that is the will of the people. So will Jim then, if there's 51% of the population vote to make a united Ireland, will he be then championing this democratic right because it's the will of the people?
Well, even though I watched the rights of the majority in Northern Ireland traduced, if it is the settled will of the people of Northern Ireland to leave the United
Kingdom. The settled will? What does that mean?
To leave the...
So 51, you will support it if there's 51% of the Northern Irish...
I'm not going to talk up. We have enough instability. I'm not going to add to the chorus.
Somebody has to know, Jim.
Talking it up.
Yes or no.
But let's be very clear. Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom by virtue of the will of its people. If the will of its people abandons that and thinks it would be better not to have a £10 billion subvention from London, it would be better to join a republic which is the highest debt rate per capita in one of the highest in the world, who thinks it would be better to start paying to go and see your GP.
And if they do decide that, you'll back it, will you?
Well, I think I'll make an option, which will mean I'll not be part of that.
But you'll back it, won't you?
No, I won't back it.
Well, how could you not back it? Because you're telling people to back the will of the people in the referendum. This is Brian in Lambeg's point.
No, when you say back it, you mean that I would propose and be happy with that? I would oppose in any referendum giving up what we have in
Brian, go ahead. Brian Lambeck.
No, yeah, you may oppose it, but you're saying that the will of the people, and it's actually the will of the English person, that we leave the EU through the Brexit referendum.
No, it's the will of the people of the United Kingdom. It's the will of the people of the United Kingdom.
Hey, Jim, the will of the people of the United Kingdom. What if the will of the people of Northern Ireland, say 51% to 49%, yes, we were economically British, but we're culturally Irish. We want a united Ireland.
Well,
I'm not saying I vote for that.
Of course,
but what I'm saying is I'm sick of hypocrites like you, Jim. Coffee banging on about the will of the people and then starts saying, oh, we're in the waiting room for the united Ireland. The point is there will never be a united Ireland unless the majority of people in Northern Ireland vote for it, which will be the will of the people.
You can denigrate me and abuse me as much as you like. But I will always campaign. I will always campaign for the people of Northern Ireland to retain the United Kingdom membership. If the people of Northern Ireland, in folly, decide otherwise, then that is their decision. It would be a wrong decision.
You want Northern Ireland to stay part of the United Kingdom? Start voting to stay, remain in the EU, because that will guarantee that Northern Ireland remains part of the United Kingdom.
And on that...
That would guarantee that Northern Ireland would remain part of an ever-harmonising EU where the nation-state is an obstacle.
Doug Beattie, on Brian and Lambeg's point this morning, look, if you were in a situation, which you might be getting close to here, where Northern Ireland's rules and regulations are aligned to the EU... where there would be some type of customs arrangement specific and unique to Northern Ireland, more similar to the EU than the rest of the UK, and the next generation of people are feeling more part of the EU than they are the UK, are you sure that you want to still campaign for Brexit as a unionist?
Stephen, I mean, this conversation has expanded somewhat, and interestingly, I've got to say, and I said to you at the start of this that I am a Democrat, and therefore we voted for Brexit, and therefore the will of the people must be adhered to. And if the will of the people in Northern Ireland is to stay part of the United Kingdom, then we stay part of the United Kingdom. If the will of the people is to leave the United Kingdom, then that's the will of the people. That's democracy, and that's what we should all be adhering to. What it is up to people like me and Jim and others is to promote the positives of the union, why we want to be unionists, why we think it's good to be unionists. And that's what I want to be doing. That's what we should be doing. And it's important that we do. But first and foremost...
Is it in the back of your mind that Brexit could break up the union, Doug?
It's been in the back of my mind since before the referendum when we sat down as a party and discussed it. And we thought about that very point. And we thought that remaining was the best thing to safeguard
the
union.
Why aren't you standing your ground then?
Because where do you draw the line, Stephen? Where do we draw the line on democracy in this country if we don't follow the will of the people? Where do we draw the line here? I mean, those people who are not willing to follow the will of the people now on Brexit, they were the ones who will be jumping up and down if we have a border poll and it's to leave the United Kingdom, and then we all argue that we're not going to.
Okay.
And 3 years down the line, we don't.
But Doug Beattie, let me
is one thing or
okay.
It's not.
But, well, you say democracy, of course, but
yeah.
54%. In Northern Ireland voted for this country to remain in the EU.
Yes.
Now, what you've just said, you are potentially the future leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, and you've told us that we'll find out on Monday whether you're going to run for that post. Seems to me like you're contemplating it seriously, okay? Let me point out to you what you've just said in the last few seconds. You've said that from before the referendum, it has been in the back of your mind that Brexit could break up the United Kingdom, could take Northern Ireland out of the United Kingdom. It's been in the back of your mind for 3 years. And here you are, going against the will of the majority in Northern Ireland, pushing what has been in the back of your mind will break up the UK. Are you sure you want to keep on going with that route?
Stephen, here we are with what is virtually a Hobson's choice here. And let's make this absolutely clear. It was a UK-wide vote. We've all rehearsed that argument, and let's not rehearse it again. But if we think that Northern Ireland can sit here and block the whole of the United Kingdom leaving the European Union after a democratic vote, then they will push us out regardless. So whether or not we are standing here saying the will of the people in Northern Ireland, and those people, those millions of people who in England voted to leave, in Wales who voted to leave, and in Scotland who voted to leave, I know we're not majority, and then they're suddenly told, you're not getting your will because of the people in Northern Ireland, half of which don't want to be part of the United Kingdom anyway, they will push us out. Democracy is the only way that we can safeguard our future.
But you know that there would be some unionists that would be thinking to themselves, do you know what? Could the DUP and the Ulster Unionist Party not protect the Northern Ireland's place in the union as the priority? The clue is in the title of your parties. Democratic Unionist Party, Ulster Unionist Party. Why is the will of the referendum coming on a same level as our place, Northern Ireland's place in the United Kingdom, is what unionists might ask? Why is the union not sacrosanct?
You're being incredibly facetious, and it's not attractive. Let me just tell you, and I've said this already, we need to be working as one kingdom. We need to leave as one kingdom.
But we're not leaving the EU already. The proposal is not for Northern Ireland to leave as one kingdom because we've got regulatory alignment for our goods already being proposed.
So my argument is, Stephen, that we should never have conceded a regulatory border. We should never have conceded that Northern Ireland will stay in the jurisdiction of the European courts. It's either the whole UK or not.
But finally, Doug, all I'm saying to you is, now that when you're saying we should never have done that, but you can see how it is moving, you can see how it's changing, why are your feet stuck in the ground where you're refusing to reflect on what your decision should be and you're sticking to, well, a vote 3 years ago is how it has to be?
Have things not changed from then? I think you're being really unfair. And I'll tell you why you're being unfair. Because again, in this, I've said to you,
This is fast moving. This is moving faster than the conversation me and you are having right at this moment in time. And this only came out as the way it is now yesterday. I am not a standalone individual here. I belong to a party, and a party that has always put the country before party at every single step and every juncture of our existence. We will come together and we will discuss and we will come up with how we're going to move forward.
Right.
No, I'm not one person. We are a party and we will do that as a party, as a team. That's the way it works.
Final question, and thank you for being open with me today.
Right,
final question. Is it still in your mind that Brexit could take Northern Ireland out of the United Kingdom?
It is still in my mind, Stephen, that not immediately, but I think that the more divergence there is from the rest of the United Kingdom, that it could end up taking us out of the United Kingdom, and that is a real concern in the long term, not necessarily the short term.
Within your lifetime?
I'd be concerned in my lifetime, yes.
How soon?
Well, I don't...
I know you don't know, but what do you think? What do you think here?
Well, I said this already, Stephen. I'm concerned what happens in 5 years' time. I'm concerned what happens in 10 years' time. I'm concerned what happens in 15 years' time.
But do you think Northern Ireland could be out of the UK within the next 10 years because of Brexit being a driver?
I think Brexit is a driver which could see the breakup of the United Kingdom. And we're forgetting about the Scottish question as well. So I'm a real concern. And I'm a unionist. I mean, I'm a unionist of all four component parts of the United Kingdom, not just an Ulster unionist. I believe in all of the component parts. So I'm as worried for Scotland as I am for Northern Ireland. So yes, I do think it is a driver that's damaging us incredibly.
All right. And this is the final question.
Oh, me.
And no matter how much that brings Northern Ireland close to United Ireland, it will always be the Ulster Unionist Party, if you have anything to do with it, position to continue to support Brexit, will it?
It will be the Ulster Unionist Party's position to support the democracy, Stephen, and I can't say it any other way. It's simple as that. And we need to have democracy. If we ignore democracy, we ignore everything. And that's where I am.
Doug Beattie, thank you very much indeed. Mark's in Lisburn. Morning, Mark.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I was on your show, you may recall it, a couple of weeks ago. And this morning, I didn't really think things could get much worse for unionism and Lauslin. And in particular, after hearing your last conversation with the two political leaders.
Why do you say that?
Well, Stephen, I've never seen unionism and loyalism so disunited. And it's like they're doing a merry dance over Ulster this morning, because we have unionism turn itself apart because we're on the cusp of a general election. There is no sign that unionism is pushing its way forward on an agenda of remaining part of the United Kingdom. And as a unionist and as a loyalist, every person I talk to, and I think this might resonate with your listeners, every person I talk to within my community always meets me and says, isn't the country in a bad state? Now, what do they mean by that? Confidence is so low within unionism. And just something I picked up, I was talking to your researchers there, I was actually going to say that perhaps it's a case of this morning that the DUP is fiddling while Ulster is burning. But I think I want to widen it.
Well, there's been no response from the DUP about whatever Leo Varadkar and Boris Johnson, whatever ground has moved yesterday. We don't even know if the DUP know. And we presume that given their contact with the government, that they'll be asking them at the very least. And maybe they're muddling it over. I don't know. But there's been nothing from the DUP since.
Stephen, I think that's very, very concerning and worrying for the unionist population within Northern Ireland that the DUP have remained silent when you have the Irish News and Irish Independent this morning leaking stories on behalf of the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar.
Well, they're not leaking anything on behalf. They're print publishing stuff, those newspapers, on behalf of their readers.
Yes, but Stephen, this is the way these things are slipped out to test the public opinion, to see what the reaction will be. Let's test it out, the public opinion, by leaking small stories out, by snippets of information just to test the population. And the fact that the biggest Democratic Party, Unionist Party in Northern Ireland, have remained silent this morning is very disingenuous to the voters, because we need leadership. We need leadership now, not in 6 and 7 months' time. I'm sorry, Doug Beattie, I don't know where Jim Allister's still there or not, but I would appeal, as a grassroots unionist and loyalist, I would appeal to those people who don't want to come onto the radio shows and television shows, but voice their opinions in cattle markets, farmers, businesses and shops this morning. What about a unionist forum? Where is our unionist unity this morning? Why don't we book the waterfront hall and bring our academics in and show leadership and a way forward for loyalism and unionism in Northern Ireland? Because you're quite right. I don't think Brexit is pushing us towards United Ireland. I think it's the betrayal of those in charge of Brexit that's pushing us towards United Ireland. And it's very, very concerning and worrying within unionism.
The 0-30-30-80-55-55, what we can do this morning, and we're going to clear the decks here and get lots of your calls on air, 0-30-30-80-55-55. If you're a nationalist, what do you think this is doing to stability in Northern Ireland? Do you think this is bringing you closer to a united Ireland? If you're a unionist, do you trust your political leaders that under no circumstances will they let this country edge even closer to a united Ireland? Do you trust the DUP, for example, with the leverage they've got over the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, that they won't let that happen? Stephen Farry waiting to talk to us from the Alliance Party. Is this doing any good for stability in Northern Ireland, Stephen?
Well, the whole Brexit project hasn't been very good for stability, but what I would say is if we don't reconsider Brexit itself, at the very least, if we get a deal, like that will stabilise things. I mean, people will still campaign or want either to stay in the UK or to have United Ireland, and they campaign for that. But I would hope that certainly a deal and something based around a backstop or a revised backstop will provide that context for us. Otherwise, a no-deal situation is going to be incredibly difficult, not just for our economy, but for our politics.
That backstop, as described within Theresa May's arrangement, couldn't get through Parliament.
Well, I don't think it was sold terribly well. I mean, this was the problem.
It was sold three times.
Sold three times, correct.
Yeah, but this is the problem. Right from the very start, the backstop was presented as being a constitutional question. When we in Northern Ireland have done things differently from the rest of the UK right from the early 1920s. This is not some new type of departure. So whenever we had Northern Ireland ruled by one party unionist rule, Northern Ireland was still different from the rest of the UK in many respects. So this is not some massive departure from what has been the situation in the past. The UK has never been an entirely uniform state.
The potential, as in even a conversation around goods coming from Britain, from Great Britain into Northern Ireland, that there might be some tariffs collected. And you don't think, Stephen Farry, unionists should be concerned about that? Are you serious?
Well, let me say two things on the technicalities of that. Once you do Brexit, and this is the problem, you end up drawing some line on a map somewhere, and that is the implication of Brexit itself. So if people want to do Brexit, that's what happens. Then secondly, we have to protect an open border on the island, and we have to ensure we protect the Good Friday Agreement. Now, the issue is a border down the Irish Sea is far more readily managed than one on the land. Now, people will talk about the value going east-west is much greater than north-south, and that is true. But the volume of goods, it's much greater moving north-south, and the number of movements is much greater north-south. East-west is dominated by a few large companies, all of which have complex logistical systems who can manage these things. The north-south is managed by a lot of SMEs and micro-businesses, one-person organisations, and that's where the real impact will be felt. Now, on the issue of tariffs, I would imagine that any deal that we can get on withdrawal will then, in due course, be followed by a free trade agreement between the UK and the European Union. So I think the issue of tariffs will virtually be eliminated.
And that free trade agreement will be done quickly, will it, given how long it's taken to been 3 years trying to work this out.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Brexit. I think Brexit is a terrible idea. But if people are determined to have Brexit, then this is the soft landing zone where we end up. And there is no Brexit that doesn't produce some degree of complication. And the issue is how we can minimise that complication. I am keeping an open mind on what may be emerging. I'm trying not to be overly optimistic. I think we'll be down many, many roads. But the key tests are, will it protect our economy? Will it protect the particular circumstances we have here in Northern Ireland?
Stephen Farry, thank you. Okay. Thank you, Stephen.